We will be looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 11 together. If you are our guest, it is my custom, as we observe the Lord's Supper, to do a short devotion. And my people will tell you short is somewhere between 20 and 25 minutes. But it's important for us to come to this time of the table prepared for what it is we are doing this morning. And so if you have your Bibles in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23, Paul begins, "For that which I received from the Lord, that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, he took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take and eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me.' In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is of the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it, remember and do it in remembrance of me. For as oft as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks of the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this very reason, many of you are weak and sick. There are many weak and sick among you, and many sleep. But if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. Therefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. But if anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, lest you come together for judgment. And the rest I will set in order when I come. Father, we thank you for your word and ask that you would speak to us concerning the truth of the word of God. In Jesus' name, amen." You know, one of the things that Paul is going to deal with as we come this morning, and that is the reality of this moment of sharing in the table, is a gospel event. It is the gospel that is being proclaimed. It is the death of the Lord Jesus Christ for sinners on Calvary's tree that we are sharing this morning. As we come together, the Apostle Paul is saying that he's sharing with the Corinthians that which he considers of first order of importance. Now, of all the things that Paul could address, and indeed has addressed with the Corinthians, on the nature of their problem with divisions in the church, on the reality of their misuse of spiritual gifts, on the reality of their lack of love, on the reality of their wanting to follow other gospels, all of those things are addressed. But the one thing that he really wants to put before them is this reality of the table. Because if you understand this reality, you understand why all of the other realities are wrong. Because you understand that in this moment, he is lifting up the essential unity that is the church, the body of Christ. The essential unity that is found first in those who know the Lord Jesus Christ as their own. Because we are blood-bought children of God. We stand here, we sit here in this room as those who have become children of God by the finished work of Jesus Christ on Calvary's tree on our behalf. But also, we need to understand that this moment is a reality, and that we who are his by his blood also become one body in him. We are not many bodies who just kind of hang out together. We are, and here's the big 5-cent word, we are an organic body of Christ. We are one essential reality together through Jesus Christ. That is why when there's divisions within the church, it would be wrong to partake of the table if you're involved in being divisive with your brother or sister, because you would be telling a lie about the relationship that you have to a brother and a sister. And since you are telling a lie about that relationship, you would also be speaking of the relationship you have with God incorrectly, because the body of Christ is his body, who is the head, the Lord Jesus Christ. So he is going to speak to the reality of the table as the place where they need to get everything right, and from that, other issues can flow. Because if you understand that, then you can understand why you have to deal with the sin of divisiveness and the sin of a divided, disunified body. And the sin of preferring this person over that person. All of those flow out of this essential reality. Also this morning, you need, as you come to this table, you are reminded of the reality of your need for redemption and my need for redemption. There's no partaking of this table without being reminded that we need to be redeemed. That no one comes to God on their own terms. They come to God on God's terms. And the way we come to God is through the person and work of Jesus Christ. We come in His blood before Him. We think of the elements that are before us. We think of the reality of bread and wine, bread and grape juice. In the essential element, bread is wheat. It's a grain. And in speaking of that reality, Jesus said that unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it abides alone. But if it dies, then it will yield a harvest 10 and 100-fold. In a very real sense, that one death that Jesus is going to give, His one body that He physically is going to give to Calvary's tree, is going to be a living truth of that parable. Through His one sacrifice, throughout the ages, in this 2,000-plus year, billions have come to know the life of God because one was willing to die and to be crucified on Calvary's tree, to surrender His body so that we might have life. And so in Him, He who laid down His body allows us to become His living body in this world. And so therefore, He says that we who are in Christ, we are a body that must consistently die to self. We are a body that must die to sin. We are a body that must live not for itself, but for someone else. It must live for the Master, the Lord Jesus Christ, and it must live for one another and for those who do not yet know Him. And so as you partake of the bread, that picture of the bread of life, the Lord Jesus Christ, you are reminded that you must live a sacrificial life in Christ as well. But also the second part of the elements that we will partake of this morning, we will partake of the fruit of the grape, the grape juice this morning. The grape grows on a vine and is beautiful to look at, but it's not until that grape is put into a press and squeezed and broken and bruised that the juice comes flowing from the grape to bless those who partake of it. Using that imagery, the Bible says in Isaiah that He would be bruised for our iniquity. He would be put in the press, the wine press of God's wrath on Calvary's tree, and He would be crushed for our iniquities. And when His blood flowed from Calvary's tree because of that, because of the shedding of His blood, there can be remission of sin. There can be being right with God. And so this morning we are reminded as we partake of these elements that we come into God's presence not on our own accord, but through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are blood-bought children of God, or we are not children of God. We are those who bear His marks of redemption, or we are not those who bear His name. And so every time the church participates in these elements, we are proclaiming that truth until He returns. For 2,000 plus years, every time the church has gathered to participate, His body has gathered to participate in these elements, it has proclaimed His death to one another and to the world. That's why the Bible says something very specific about this table. It says you ought not partake of it in an unworthy manner. Now, those of us who have been in the church a while, we sometimes just kind of skip over that. What does unworthy mean? Well, reduced to two realities, unworthy first would be those who would seek to partake of the table who have never met the Lord Jesus Christ. It would be saying something about yourself that is not true. It would be saying that you belong to the living God through the sacrificial atoning death of Jesus Christ. And to participate having never bowed your knee and repented and came before God for forgiveness in Jesus Christ, to participate in these elements would be to partake in an unworthy manner because you have not yet been made worthy to do so. Because you cannot proclaim a gospel you have not believed. You cannot partake of the elements in a worthy manner until you have truly, personally received Him who is the picture we present this morning. And so Paul says you ought not do that. And this morning, if you've never met the Master, it's not that Ron's saying you can't have any of the grape juice and you can't have any of the unleavened bread. It's not Ron saying that. It's the Word of God saying it is dangerous for you to do that. And you should not do that because you do not yet know the Master. But this morning you can, because this is the gospel. It is the gospel of Jesus Christ, that He came and lived a sinless life and did allow Himself to be crucified and to shed His blood for the remission of sins, that those who would believe in Him might have their sins paid for. And then 3 days later, the Father raised Him from the tomb, forever signifying that His death was acceptable for eternal salvation. But there's a second way in which unworthy needs to be understood this morning. Not in the sense of self-worthiness, but in the sense of being unworthy because of the fact that you have not been willing to identify with Him through the disciplined life called being a follower of Jesus Christ. If there's unconfessed and unrepented of sin in your heart, you're saying by partaking of these elements that not only did Jesus pay for them, but that you might have life, but that you are willing to live that life for His glory. That you're willing to be His body. That you're willing to obey His command. Jesus said, "Who is it that loves me? It's He that keeps my commandments." And it's an unworthy thing when we come to the table as though everything is right between God and me and between someone else and myself. See, if this table speaks of the essential unity that I have with Him and the essential unity that I have with my brothers and sisters, then both areas need to be tended to regularly. You know, one of my favorite characters in literature is the little character of Pigpen in the Peanuts comic strip. Mainly because growing up on a farm, he was kind of my hero. I mean, your mom makes you get all cleaned up, and then you go out and play, and you just, as you play and enjoy life, you just get dirty. You just pick up dirt. And that's the way it is with sinful attitudes and sinful actions. We live life in a sinful, fallen world. And unless we're constantly being cleansed by the power of the Spirit through the finished work in Christ, we're just picking up dirt. We just go through life picking up dirt. We pick up the world's attitudes. We pick up the world's actions. We pick up the world's understandings until we behave and look like that which is not what we are. And when you come to the table, that's a time to ask the Lord by the power of the Spirit, and we're going to do that in a minute, to ask the Lord to examine your heart. Is there any, as David prayed so long ago, "Search me, O Lord, and know me, and see if there be any wicked way within me, any area of life in which you are not only not right with God in that area through action or attitude, but maybe you're not right with a brother or sister." And you know, I think it's important for us to understand this is a family event. If you look at the roots of the Lord's Supper and the Passover. The Passover, even to this day in Jewish households, is celebrated in the family because it's there in that most intimate of relationships where faith really begins to be lived out. And it flows out like ripples in a pond from there. And some of us need to just deal with our being distant from our wives, from our husbands, from our children, from our parents. And from there, start making those things right. And then as we move out with one another. You know, Paul says this way, he says that each man ought to examine himself in this matter. See, it's not just me. It's not just the pastor. See, it's not just, as I shared in the early service, it's not that I like Dan better than I like Wah. So Dan can come and Wah can't. Actually, I like Wah better, but that's a different story. She makes great food and plays great golf. Here's my point. See, it's real easy for us to look at someone else's life and say, well, if they're doing it, I know what's wrong with them, then I can do it. That's not really what the Bible says. The Bible doesn't say that I'm to look at someone else and determine whether or not I think they can participate. Now, obviously, if there's public sin that's known in the body, then yes, that has to be dealt with. But we're really talking about, Paul wants to get to the reality of the matter. He says that it's you, it's me. That you could fool everyone else, but you know what's in your heart, and so does God. And so Paul says each one of us ought to examine ourselves to see how we are partaking this morning. Not someone else looking at you and saying, well, you brought your Bible, check. You attended Sunday school, check. You work in Awanas, check. Okay, you can come. That's not the issue, because you can do everything outwardly and still be wrong with God inwardly. So each one of us needs to examine ourselves that before we partake of this table, that we are able to do so in a manner worthy of the one that we are picturing, because he is the standard by which we must judge all of our actions and all of our motives and all of our attitudes. Let each man examine himself and ask the Holy Spirit to do so. You see, if we do that, then we won't be judged. If we judge ourselves correctly, then we won't be judged and chastened. I shared this illustration, and I'll close it with this as we come to the table. When I was a little kid, I loved my dad. The worst spanking I ever got wasn't because of what I had done. It's because of how much I lied about it. How many of you have children? Or how many of you were ever a child? Figure I get 100% on that. All of you know that if once you are in a pickle with mom and dad, and you are rightfully caught red-handed, the best course of action is to throw yourself on the mercy of the court. Amen? To confess and ask for forgiveness. You still may have some chastening coming, but it won't be as severe, because you've acknowledged the reality. Well, God says, if you will judge yourself in this matter, then I won't have to judge you. I can forgive you. But if you choose to remain stubborn about it and you participate in an unworthy manner, then I must chasten you, because you are lying about me and you are lying about my son. And these things I cannot allow and still be who I am. And so the Bible says we come to the Lord and say, God, forgive me in those areas. I've judged them the way you judged them. See, here's why. Because when you participate in this event, you're getting God's final judgment on it. The soul that sins, it should die. And the only way it can live is is for the Lord Jesus Christ to pay for the sin. Therefore, brethren, when you come together, he says finally, to eat, to share with one another in the most elemental realities, look out, seek each other's good. And today, the focus ought to be on one another. This event is we, the body of Christ, come together. Let us honor God together in participating in this supper of the Lord. As our musicians come to play, we're going to have a time in which we're going to ask you to just get before the Lord and ask Him to deal with you concerning any issues in your heart and in your life. Nobody else may know, but He does. And to ask Him to cleanse those realities before we partake of the supper. And I'm just going to share it with you this way. If the first reality of being unworthy is where you are, you've never met the Lord, and you want to participate in this table, and I've got good news for you. You can receive Jesus Christ right now. We'll be down front, and if you want to meet the Lord and participate in His table worthily, then we'd like to introduce you to Jesus Christ. So if that be where you are this morning, then do not hesitate. Just come and say, Pastor, I'd like to know how to know Jesus this morning. I'd like to participate in the Lord's Supper for the first time as a child of God. And we'd love to introduce you to Him this morning. As our instruments are playing, you go before the Lord and I'll join you there. Now, Father and God, we thank You for these moments. Father, those of us who were in the first service, and we've already been reminded of these truths, and so we just come before You asking the Spirit of the living God would just restore that which has been taken away by the enemy. And Father, we confess our unworthiness in and of ourselves to be able to handle the things of God. But we thank You for the finished work of Jesus Christ, who on Calvary's tree, long before we were ever born, long before we ever knew this gospel, He paid for our redemption. Oh, Father and God, may this morning we glorify You in a worthy manner of partaking in His table to Your glory and for Your name's sake. In Jesus' name, amen. Our deacons come at this time. And as they were eating it, Jesus took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body." Father, we thank you for the bread of life which came to us from heaven, the manna which came from the throne room of God to give his body for us on Calvary's tree. Bless this now in Jesus' name. Amen. Take and eat. And God's people say,
amen.
Amen. And in like manner, he took the cup. And then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to each one of them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sin." When God set the boundaries for what it would take to pay for sin, the scripture says, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness, there is no remission of sin. So whenever God sought to forgive, he cut a covenant in the blood. And so he cut a covenant with you and with me through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ in the shedding of his blood on Calvary's tree. Till he comes, Maranatha. And God's people say, Amen. As you are seated, Scripture says that after they participated in that holy moment and heard the reality of God's forgiveness and how he was going to accomplish it, they sung a hymn and went out into the Mount of Olives, where Jesus was betrayed, to begin that process of forgiveness. Today we stand together around the room and we begin to sing the hymn of invitation because we have just proclaimed the gospel of Jesus Christ in picture form, in the cup and in the bread. And so we sing a hymn of invitation to invite you to come, if you've never met him, to know him who is life. We sing an invitation to those who may be looking for a church home, whose lives they wish to make part of this body of Christ at First Baptist. We invite you to join. We sing a hymn of invitation for those who may have other needs, may want someone to pray with you, maybe want someone to talk to. Whatever it is you need to do, do it. Jesus said, the author of Hebrews says, today if you've heard his voice, harden not your hearts. And so as we sing, we invite you to respond. Just as Jesus responded to the Father's call and went to Calvary, so we invite you to respond to his call to live in this world for him. Father, this is your invitation. Bless it now in Jesus' name as we sing.